Turkle said the supervisor was the only one on nights who had a key to the drug room, but McMurphy talked him into letting us having a try at picking the lock. Turkle grinned and nodded his head lazily. While he and McMurphy worked at the lock on the drug room with paper clips, the girls and the rest of us ran around in the nurse's station opening files and reading records. "Look here," Scanlon said, waving one of those folders. "Talk about complete. They've even got my first grade report card in here. Ah, miserable grades, just miserable." Billy and his girl were going over his folder. She stepped back to look him over. "All these things, Billy? Phrenic this and pathic that? You don't look like you have all these things." The other girl had opened a supply drawer and was suspicious about what the nurses needed with all those hot water bottles, a million of them. Harding was sitting on the big nurse's desk, shaking his head at the whole affair. McMurphy and Turkle got the door of the drug room open and brought out a bottle of thick cherry-colored liquid from the icebox. McMurphy tipped the bottle to the light and read the label out loud. "Artificial flavor, coloring, citric acid, 70% inert materials, that must be water, and 20% alcohol, that's fine, and 10% codeine, warning, narcotic, may be habit-forming." He unscrewed the bottle and took a taste of it, closing his eyes. He worked his tongue around his teeth and took another swallow and read the label again. "Well," he said and clicked his teeth together like they'd just been sharpened, "if we cut it a little bit with the vodka, I think it'll be all right. How are we fixed for ice cubes, Turkey, old buddy?" Mixed in paper medicine cups with the liquor and the port wine, the syrup had a taste like a kid's drink, but a punch like the cactus apple wine we used to get in the Dalles, cold and soothing on the throat and hot and furious once it got down. We turned out the lights in the day room and sat around drinking it. We threw the first couple of cups down like we were taking our medication, drinking it in serious and silent doses and looking one another over to see if it was going to kill anybody. McMurphy and Turkle switched back and forth from the drink to Turkle's cigarettes and got to giggling again as they discussed how it would be to lay that little nurse with the birthmark who went off at midnight. "I'd be scared," Turkle said. "She might go to whooping me with that big old cross and that chain. Wouldn't that be a fix to be in now?" "I'd be scared," McMurphy said, "that just about the time I was getting my jolly, she'd reach around behind me with a thermometer and take my temperature." That busted everybody up. Harding stopped laughing long enough to join the joking. "Or worse yet," he said, "just lie there under you with a dreadful concentration on her face and tell you, oh Jesus, listen, tell you what your pulse was." "Oh, don't, oh my God." "Or even worse, just lie there and be able to calculate your pulse and temperature both, sans instruments." "Oh, God, oh, please don't."